It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. We're in the big room, in the big studio today. Coming up, Windows on ARM. Xiaomi has a new laptop, but not Windows on Mac. Why not? We have some speculation. Plus, Defender everywhere. But do you really need it? It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 782, recorded Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. A hazy shade of winders. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by HackerRank. It's time to reboot your technical interviews with HackerRank's easy-to-use tools. With a pre-made question library, code playback, and built-in whiteboard, you'll be conducting better technical interviews, instantly identifying the right talent. Go to HackerRank.com/WW to start a better tech interview for free today. And by New Relic. That next 9 p.m. call is just waiting to happen. Get New Relic before it does, and you can get access to the whole New Relic platform and 100 gigabytes of data per month free forever. No credit card required. Sign up at newrelic.com/windows. And by Acronis. Keep your digital world safe from all threats with the only cyber protection solution that delivers a unique integration of data protection and cybersecurity in one. Acronis Cyber Protect Home Office, formerly Acronis True Image. Go to go.acronis.com/ww. Okay, dozers, it's time for Windows Weekly. I know you may be a little confused. It looks like we're on the big boy set. We are. My office has crashed. So we're here in the...
You know how that happens.
You know how that... You know how it is. That's Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. His books, The Field Guide to Windows 10 at leanpub.com. Mary Jo Foley, also here from allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. And the real reason that we're in this studio is because Mary Jo couldn't hear us.
And it's just, but it wasn't my fault.
It wasn't your fault. It's not my fault. They blamed you at first when I first got in, but no.
I know.
It wasn't
your fault.
People
want to blame me, but it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, we're thinking maybe we should just, why don't we just always do the show in here? You may wonder. Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is when I'm in the other studio, I can control the whole thing, and we don't need an engineer running the board. So that's one, and that's about it. That's about it.
This feels like the deck of the Starship Enterprise.
It does, doesn't it?
The little cottage-like thing we were in before.
Well, yeah, and that was my office is basically unchanged from the cottage, you know,
right.
With a screen behind me, and you know, remember Paul in those days?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there, if on Twit, it was the same place, but we'd have four people in the screen and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We've come a long way, baby. I don't know if it's better. It's just, you know, different.
It's bigger.
It's bigger. I can spread out.
Yep.
So let's talk Winders. The new dev channel build out today. How exciting.
It's not that exciting.
I'm not excited. No. I'm feigning excitement. I have to say, I got for the first time ever a green screen.
Yeah.
Yesterday. I think it was... I don't think it was something I was doing. I think it might have been the fault of the laptop because I had unplugged it, picked it up, carried it in to show somebody, and as I was carrying it back, it green screened.
You have to understand, as a Windows user, you're trained to believe it's your fault.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, and Microsoft subtweeted the Insider Edition. It said, oh, Insider Edition has crashed. And then.
That's why it was green.
Oh, blue would be. So I thought they were just thinking,
normal.
Hey, no more blue screens of death. They're green now.
Green is a more positive color.
Okay, so it is blue if I were using. 21H1, but you told me 22H2 is good, so I upgraded.
I didn't tell you that.
No, you were right.
I didn't tell you that.
You were right.
Wait, am I going for two writes in 2 weeks? Hold on.
You were so right.
Settle down over there.
And then I rebooted, and it said, well, I don't know. We could repair it, or you could just, you know, reinstall. And I thought, what? But then I rebooted again, and as usual, it just went, oh, fine.
The advice that Windows gives you when something goes wrong is almost always useless. For example, when I try to sign in with my finger and it doesn't work the first time, it says, why don't you try another finger? Yeah. Why don't you know that I've only enrolled one finger and just let me try it again? Like, that is.
I have a finger I want to try. What's this?
I gave you a finger.
I got a finger for you.
Yeah, I gave it to you. I've said that for years on the radio show because people call in. It's so funny. They'll call in and say, yeah, I got a blue screen of death. Shall I read it to you? And I said, no, stop.
No.
That information is not of any value at all. Nope. I don't even know why they give it to you.
0x001F.
And I said, that is of use only to the developer. Is he sitting with you right now? If the programmer's there, maybe. But that stack dump, that core dump, big deal. And the other thing I said, which is...
Usually there's a... usually get a code, like a QR code. You can take a picture of it with your phone.
And then do what?
And he goes to a page on like docs.microsoft.com and says, oh, that's not good.
Why do they do that? They should just say, look... Because, and what I tell them is the computer, even if that code were useful, it rarely is the right one because the computer, it takes a while for it to notice the things aren't right. Mm-hmm. And so it's often later down the road that the crash happens. And so the point the crash happened at is not that valuable.
Yeah.
If you can give me the stack frame and the program pointer, might be.
Right. I mean, did you think to preserve memory before you rebooted? Or
anyway, so
why is software so fragile? Is really the question we should be asking ourselves.
It's insanely complex. Before the show, Paul and I were talking about functional programming and about Swift and so forth. And one of the things that advocates of functional programming like to say is that it is more robust. We kind of went in this mode, this imperative programming mode, starting with C and Algol and stuff. And the idea is that you have data here and you have programs here that are operating on the data. But the problem is it's very easy to get to change the data in a way that other parts of the program don't know about, and boom. It's also easy to access memory you don't have that doesn't exist or you don't have control of anymore. And all of these cause crashes and security flaws, I might add. A crash is but one step from a security flaw.
Right. Yeah, a security flaw is often a controlled crash.
Right.
You know, I just feel like this is just a moving target. We were always going to solve these problems, you know, like automatic memory management. That will solve it, you know. Or like just like actual multitasking where it's supposed to be impossible for any application to write over the memory used by another application. This is supposed to be a big thing. But like as we move forward, you did your thing and you green screen in this case. And that's what computers are.
They're fragile.
Back in the day in Windows 11, didn't they say at one point, we're going to make the error messages more understandable by humans? I kind of remember this was a goal, one of the many goals of Windows 11. Yeah, and nothing's happened on that front, right?
Well, the problem is do that, the error message will always be something went wrong.
Something went wrong.
Start over. Because
it's all useless. Right. It's useless. So Fitbit just is coming up with a feature for paying subscribers that will give you a deep analysis of your sleep, right? So if you sleep horribly like I do, you'll get some horrible graph of red lines. It will show you all the places where you made mistakes, screwed up during the night. And then it's like, okay, but what do I do about this? Oh, no, we can't help with that. We can show you what went wrong, but we don't have any way to fix it. And it's like, right, I don't need to know that I was awake for 3 seconds at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I'm convinced monitoring your sleep is the best way to ruin your sleep.
Yeah, you're worrying about it the whole night, right?
You're suddenly thinking about how you're sleeping.
I look at this first thing every morning, and I freak out every morning.
I have learned not to. I have literally three things measuring my sleep right now. I have
three.
I have the Serta sleep tracker, which is under the mattress. I have the 8 Sleep, our sponsor 8 Sleep does tracking. And I have the Google hub that monitors your tracking, your sleeping. So that's three. I think I feel like there's more. Anyway, I can get a variety of sleep scores.
They never match.
One says you slept great. The other one says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Don't do anything today." It's ridiculous.
Like blood pressure.
It is very much like blood pressure. It's just all over the place.
I'll often have like a 2-hour gap in the middle of the night, and then I say, no, this is wrong, and I fix it, and then it fills in with actual data. It's like it actually. I don't know why I do this. All it does is upset me every morning.
Oh, yeah, I have the Aura Ring.
The worst one is...
Like I have four... I'm tracking me four different ways. I forgot about that one.
No, this is not good.
And the Apple Watch, which I don't wear to bed because who needs a fifth way to sleep well? I know if I slept well or not.
Microsoft is going to solve all of our problems because Windows Update is committed to helping reduce carbon emissions. They're going to save the world.
Oh, thank God.
So you'll all sleep great. Don't worry about it.
I think that might be why I don't sleep well. Part of it is age, you know, supposedly. But although my mom, who's 88, sleeps like a baby all day and then wakes up and cries. But that's another matter. I think that there is a lot of anxiety between COVID, climate change, Putin. There's a lot to worry about.
Yep.
There is.
So, of course, we don't sleep well.
That's right. That's right.
Not to mention what's going to happen in Better Call Saul. I mean, I'm very worried that Jimmy, I think... anyway, that's another...
Why did the new Stranger Things season stink so bad? Why does everyone think Top Gun was a good movie? It was terrible. I don't know. I can't answer these existential questions.
Lisa and I watched Top Gun the other day. I'd never seen it.
The original.
The original.
I've never seen it.
It's horrible. It's one of the worst movies ever made.
I'm not going to say it's horrible, but it's not great. I think really...
Oh, my God. It has three songs on repeat for the entire movie.
Take my breath away. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the homoerotic volleyball game. Which...
Oh, my God. when he does the biting motion toward him. He's like... You're like, well, just kiss and get it over with. What are you doing?
I don't think it's awful.
It's crazy.
But I think there are a lot of movies that we saw in our youth that we are nostalgic about and we have kind of a golden glow around them. Star Wars is like that. Yeah.
I paused this movie at one point and I said, so this great strategy that this guy has as a pilot, just so I understand what he's doing, he's putting on the brakes so that the other people
go past him.
And then he's shooting him from behind. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
Because that's the most basic thing I've ever heard in my life.
I think that would work. They teach that at Top Gun school.
I think it would too, until everyone's doing it.
And they go, oh, yeah, he's he's going to step on the brakes. Watch. Oh, he did it. We call that the MAV.
Yeah, sure we do.
When I read how they shot it,
a time when we were not at war.
When I read how they shot it, which
we didn't even have anyone to fight back then.
No.
Who are you talking about?
In the new one, apparently there's an enemy, but they don't want to say he's Russian or anything, so they just say the enemy.
Sure,
because we don't want to offend anybody. We want to shoot their planes out of the sky, but we wouldn't want to offend them.
I don't know how we got down this path. I'm sorry, but
I was just going to say, guys, new Windows build.
New. It's, you know what? This is a measure
Speaking
of
things that are terrible,
inconsequential. A new dev channel
exactly.
build is.
There
basically.
We go. That's correct. There's not a lot to
That's
say.
True.
Search highlights are coming. Search highlights. Well, do you want to talk about the new dev channel build?
The only thing
briefly,
I have a question about
because.
I have a question for you, Paul, about this build. That thing they talk about, the local administrator feature that is listed in this bill, local administrator password, something, something, lapse, right? They say it's part of Windows now, and one of the things that it'll let you do as an administrator is make sure people aren't reusing passwords. But there's a whole other list of things that it does.
Right.
So is that in Windows now, or is this newly in Windows as of this build? I had never even heard of this feature till today.
I have never heard of this before. So,
okay, good. Right. I'm glad I'm not alone.
I assume because it is, because it is appearing in a Windows Insider dev channel build, this is something that will appear in Windows down the road.
At some point.
I have never heard of this. Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought it was just me. I'm like, oh, maybe this is some famous thing that people are
also,
be like, oh,
it's
great.
It's very specifically for domain join clients.
Yes, it is.
So I suppose.
I so only, it can only go to a subset of insiders then, right?
Yeah,
can't
well,
go
it's
to everybody.
Kind of very limited. Yeah. In fact,
right. Very limited set.
In fact, that's how they say it is limited to a small set of insiders, right?
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
I know. No, the other
That's
two things were
so
like.
In other words, in this situation,
that was seemed like it could be a big deal, but I don't know enough about that feature to know if it is a big deal.
It's not a big deal in my world because I don't really care too much about AAD connected computers.
Group but policy?
Yes, I mean,
are you saying you don't care about group policy?
I didn't say
all
that.
All right. Okay.
But no, I mean, you know, if you're, in other words, the notion here is you're connecting to AAD, so your computer is controlled by some central admin, you know, whatever, set of policies. You could still tech, I mean, not, it may be prevented, but I guess the idea here is you can create a local administrator account, which would have full privileges on the machine. And now they're, this is a way to apply policy to that account, it looks like. I've never heard of such a thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm glad it's not just me. The other things were like there's some new Braille-related things for Narrator and then some additional settings for OneDrive in your common management page that's part of Windows now, right?
What
otherwise
is,
fixes.
Here's the article from Laurent Giray. I like saying his name. Laurent Giray.
Yep.
Is this so it tells you now what your billing is and your credit card? And
yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in Windows, I don't see, I forget when things started, but I think 22H2, if you go to the accounts page, you get information about your Microsoft 365 account if you have one. This is adding support specifically for OneDrive. So if you're just paying for OneDrive storage or whatever, you'll get the separate listing there. It's just a. It's just a way to see and in minor ways probably manage your storage without having to go to the web. But it's I think it's a nice little thing to have as part of your account because it isn't. Yeah. These things are kind of an integral a part of your Microsoft account, right? You're paying for something probably, or if you are, you're paying for either a Microsoft 365 family or personal account or for OneDrive storage directly.
So this is in the accounts settings. So there, if you have other accounts, you'll see similar information about those accounts, presumably, yeah?
Or if you have other things tied to your account, right?
Right.
So I could imagine someday they'll put your Xbox paid subscription information might be there too. Why not? Because it's tied to that account, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like today, typically you would go to account.microsoft.com and go to subscriptions and you would see all that information there.
Well, that was a thrill and a half.
There. I know. There really is not a lot going on with that build.
Yeah. We're lucky we got that. So,
I ain't complaining. Surge highlights coming to Windows 11 V1.2 for some reason. Huh?
Did I write that right? Yeah. V1.2. Did I write V1.2?
V1.200.
Oh, V1.200.
T-O-O. Okay. By the way, yeah, Paul, so can I ask highlights. One thing about your website? Why does the cookie banner come up always come up? Doesn't
it shouldn't come up
every single time I load the page?
Does.
It comes up every single time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, that's not working.
You obviously don't go to your site very often.
That's not true. I don't see it. I don't see it all the time.
Oh, you might be blocking cookie banners or something smart like that. Something. Since.
Yeah, I see it a lot too.
Every time
to your site.
But you know, it doesn't surprise me.
In the list of things that are wrong with my website, this is a very minor issue.
Oh, I know. It doesn't surprise me because, after all, you'd have to save a cookie to say to say he already said no cookies. But anyway,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm throwing that in. Yeah, free.
Shouldn't happen every time.
I won't. Yeah, I won't charge you for that one. Microsoft rolling out search highlights on Windows 11.
Yeah, so search highlights is this distraction thing we talked about the other day.
I thought it was already part of 11. Oh, so it's only in the. It's only been in the preview.
22H2. It actually went back to Windows 10. Now it is coming to the original release of Windows 11 for some reason.
I don't like this.
No, it's a way to tie you into the content from MSN,
right?
And potentially sell ads in the
podcast. But the thing is, it's non-contextual, right? So if you're searching for something, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, it could be a local file. It could be something. You could search the web from here. Mm-hmm. But the point is you went to the search interface for some reason, and that reason is not whatever's in search highlights. That is literally just a... Here's like, you know, on Father's Day, they would have had a thing about Father's Day, you know, and they every day has a thing. Like some famous person maybe was born on this day. Here's some information about that famous person. It has nothing to do with why you're there.
Yeah. So if you currently use this, you can decide whether you want to see web results in your search or not. What if you turn off web results? Will you just not see any of that?
So you can actually turn this feature off.
Oh, you can?
You can. Okay, good. Yeah, you can actually turn it off.
Okay.
Which is what I do. And I just went to see what was there today, and I have turned it off. So.
Yeah. I think for me, it's too distracting. Like when I search, I just am going there to search for one thing, usually on my own PC or on my own OneDrive. Like,
you might want to run an app, you know, whatever.
Sorry. Yep.
I got my Windows laptop and it fell.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Now I'm going to get a green screen.
Now you're going to get a green screen for sure.
Now I made a big crash.
Maybe other colors.
I'm glad that I wouldn't know it was World Rainforest Day, though, if it weren't for.
See, there you go. But this is why I call this a distraction, because like I said, you go in there for a reason, and then you see this information, colorful pictures and everything. You look at it, you're like, oh.
And then underneath it, trending searches.
Yeah.
Jaylon Ferguson, Barron Trump, Little TJ, earthquakes today, and Supreme Court decisions today. This is as useless to me. I'm trying to get some work done. It's like saying squirrel.
Well, for me, this is enough of a distraction. I will forget why I was there.
Yeah, squirrel. It's a context.
In other words, just the sight of this will cause me to pause for a second, and then I'll look back at the search box and be like, what was I doing?
It's like walking through a door when you're looking for your glasses.
Right. Someone hands you a pair of socks, and you're like, okay.
Right. Somebody said, like, dropping this Windows laptop was a hate crime. No, it was an accident.
Sure.
All right. Now, if I start typing something, it'll give me more inconsequential.
It will go away. And actually,
go away. Okay.
That's right. And if you access search the way I normally do, which is just open start,
hit return as fast as possible.
Yeah. You'll never see it.
Okay, good. And if I backspace out of it, then it comes back.
I like, by the way, that I just typed in a nonsense search, which is KFDJFKD, and the top result was City of Allentown.
That's all right. I typed DFGFG, and I got a YouTube video called DFGFG.
That's amazing.
There's so much stuff on the internet now that there is no nonsense.
Every combination.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no
monkeys
longer
are not
nonsense.
Creating Shakespeare. They're creating YouTube videos.
Yeah, infinite monkeys. We have our infinite monkeys. They're here, folks. It's called YouTubers. Yeah. On we go. Let's see. Xiaomi launches its first WOA.
So
that's a lot of vowels for a young man.
We've all heard the phrase, two turkeys do not make an eagle. I can't think of anything less interesting to the Western world than a laptop made by a company called Xiaomi. Except a laptop made by Xiaomi that runs Windows 11 on ARM. Seriously.
I have to be honest. Xiaomi actually makes nice phones.
That has nothing to do with it. I'm sure they make very high quality products. Yeah. I'm just saying.
This looks just like
interest.
A Surface, doesn't it?
It looks like a Surface,
It's got a kickstand.
The weirdest thing about it is that it does not feature the latest generation Qualcomm Snapdragon chip.
That's fine.
Oh, man.
isn't
even a good chip anyway, but it's better than. Yeah. Right? We're still not up to anything that's good for PCs.
We know why they made it, though. Because they make phones, too. They had a lot of leftovers. Yeah. And they thought,
let's put one in a laptop.
They've got some leftover Snapdragon 8CX Gen 2 chips.
You know what, though, Paul? I don't know if you've noticed this. So after years of kind of just leaving Windows on ARM out there, not going anywhere, in the past 2 months, Microsoft is whipping everybody into a frenzy about Windows on ARM. There's no laptop chips yet that are good for this. They're not coming till next year. But you've got guys like Rich Turner, the guy who brought us Windows Subsystem for Linux and lots of other things.
Love him.
He seems to be the point person trying to get Microsoft to port all their apps to ARM, and he's really driving this charge. So I'm like, okay, somebody has said to them, okay, guys, we got to get going on Windows on ARM, even though we've been trying for years.
I can't explain. I would say this year has been notable for the number of Windows on ARM announcements there have been, none of which are the one we're waiting for, which is that new chipset family right from Nuvia. But yeah, I don't know why. I give them credit for keeping it going. You know, Windows An ARM is the thing that began with Windows 8, right, with Windows RT. It's kind of a return to the roots of Windows NT, we'll call it, which was supposed to be multi-platform in the beginning, which I kind of like vaguely. All of the stuff that people talk about when they talk about ARM and its advantages, I agree with in theory, 100%. Yeah. Apple always talks about this performance per watt type of thing. I completely understand. But I just have this hard time believing we're going to escape the legacy underpinnings of Windows and the apps that run on top of it, which are all these kind of x86, x64 legacy desktop applications, which are not optimal for these kinds of computers. And like this computer is a great example. I mean, how many years are we going to foist another Surface Pro lookalike on people? And why on earth would this one take off where none of the other ones have? I just don't understand. I mean, I like the idea. I just don't see it.
It's not time for it still.
I don't know if it's ever going to be time for it.
Here's the one good thing about the Xiaomi Book S12.4.
Okay.
Apparently used by Tom Cruise in Top Gun. There he goes.
I knew there was a reason we were talking about
that. Ironic, because he's almost certainly fighting the Chinese.
It looks so, you know what? They say the Chinese copy our technology. This looks so much like a Surface that it basically looks like a direct copy of the Surface.
Yep.
I'm willing, how much is it?
700 euros.
Yikes. That's a lot of money. Yeah. I'd almost be willing to buy it just to give it a chance, just to see if maybe it's usable. Yeah. Look at that. It even does the click.
Sure.
Just like the... Just like
all they,
the
all they need is schoolgirls dancing around with the click.
I know. Click. And by the way, there's no way that 3D rendering is going to be moving as quick as that is on ARM.
No.
Look, she's very serious about this. She's taking it to her TED Talk and everything. Wow.
Yep.
I don't think an architect would really want to use this thing. But Xiaomi, I have to say, Xiaomi makes good stuff. I had a Xiaomi phone.
Oh, no, and so did Huawei.
Yeah, you know? So did Huawei.
And so do they still, probably, but it's just, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, it's only a matter of time before someone in the government notices this Chinese-sounding name and starts asking questions, you know?
Yeah.
How are they getting this technology? Don't we have a... Aren't we banning
supply chain?
We don't ban all Chinese goods. That would be disastrous.
No. They're using Qualcomm chipsets, which is U.S. technology. That should be banned.
Oh.
They shouldn't be allowed to use that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That no Chinese company can use U.S. technology?
Well, no. See, they're not on the entity list. Right? They weren't big enough to make the list. The problem is if they're successful, then they'll get on the list.
It's very confusing.
Anyway, you're not going to go to Best Buy and see a lot of Xiaomi products, so it's not like an issue today. But that was true of Huawei too. So I was kind of, Huawei, their downfall was they made networking equipment.
That's more risky. I mean, this machine is not risky.
Well, no, but they banned
national security. You probably can't buy it if you're in the U.S. government. I bet you can't buy this.
Sure. Yeah,
but I don't know.
But why would you want it? You know, honestly, it doesn't matter who makes this. This could be a Lenovo product. Why would you want this thing?
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's take a little time out. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Yes, we're in the big boy studio because the little boy studio fell down. Actually, you know what? We should name these after the atomic bombs. We should have little boy and fat boy.
Was it Big Bertha?
Fat boy. Little man. Yeah. So the little man studio is down, but Fat Boy's going
aren't the
great.
Best names.
No, actually, those are terrible names.
They are
appropriate, but they are terrible names.
Not great.
Our show today brought to you by HackerRank. I think you know HackerRank. All the coders know HackerRank because it's a great place to go to get a job as a coder. Great place to hire coders. I go to HackerRank because I love the puzzles. I like to get a rank and solve puzzles. But HackerRank is a great place if you're hiring talent. If you're conducting tech interviews, you're going to want to know about something they've just done, which is really, really cool, that makes your tech interviews easier. It's hard if you're doing tech interviews, especially these days over Zoom. You have to spend the first 10 minutes of your interview just trying to set up an environment to share code from a dozen documents. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your candidate's time.
Fortunately, HackerRank has developed an IDE, Integrated Development Environment, just for the tech interview process. It's got an easy-to-use set of interview tools. You'll quickly find the best developers for your technical projects. You get some really nice features, a pre-made question library with more than 2,500 questions, so you don't have to make them up. You'll find the right question to find the right coder. A code playback feature so you can review the candidate's coding approach and score their skill levels. Sometimes they go so fast, you know, it's a lot easier if you can do instant replay and see what's going on. And if you want to do a collaborative thing, they've got this great collaborative built-in whiteboard so you can do it together and see how problems are solved. It's kind of the thing you would have if you were doing in-person interviews. But nowadays, we're often doing them over Zoom. Time to reboot your technical interview process with HackerRank. Click interview done. Start using HackerRank for free today. See how much better a technical interview can be. It's time to reboot your technical interviews with HackerRank's easy-to-use tools. With a pre-made question library, code playback, built-in whiteboard, you'll be conducting better technical interviews, instantly identifying the right talent. HackerRank.com/WW, HackerRank.com/WW. Start a better tech interview for free today at HackerRank. Thank you, HackerRank. And don't forget to use that WW so they know you saw it here. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and now it's time to talk about Mary Jo's second favorite, right after Hadoop, second favorite subject, Microsoft 365.
It is. And this one is a good one because we brought it up just as the code name last week on Windows Weekly. This is Defender. The product is officially named Defender for Individuals. Very odd name, I felt like. This is another version of Defender, but this one's for Microsoft 365 personal and family subscribers. So if you have either of those subscriptions, you are going to get this for free. No additional charge. This is the product, codenamed Gibraltar, that Microsoft's been testing for the past few months. It gives you a centralized dashboard view of the security of not just the PC that it's on, but also your other devices like Macs, iOS, and Android phones, all in a centralized location. If you happen to have things like Norton or McAfee installed, you'll be able to see that in this dashboard as well. So you get alerts when there's something wrong on any of your devices. You'll get tips. You get tricks. You get the whole thing. If you are not a subscriber and you want Defender for Individuals, you cannot have it. You have to subscribe to Microsoft 365 to get it. There is no other way to get it.
Why would someone want this, though? What's the...
My favorite feature is on iPad and iOS, since an antivirus isn't allowed to do anything... Defender will give you tips.
Yeah. Even though you can't do anything, here's a tip.
A tip. Browsers.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You don't really need this on any mobile device. I guess, and I don't think you need it on the Mac, but I guess if you're, I mean, you get it for free or do you have to pay extra for it?
You get it for free. Yeah.
So you're already, I mean, I have, you know, the Microsoft 365, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
if
maybe.
You have a consumer subscription, you'll get it.
My only thing about this is I'm kind of against adding software that you don't need, right? Everything you add to your system adds potential problems. So, you know, and you know, I don't think you really need this on your Mac or certainly not on iOS or iPad.
I think the main draw of this potentially is the centralized dashboard view. It's not so much... It's more just like you could have one
see
place to
machines.
Look and
see all your
stuff, right?
The other thing, and now, Steve Gibson actually brought this up,
and
I don't know if it does this, but it would be a good thing, is at least it could look for Windows viruses, and if you're on one of these other platforms, it would keep you from sharing malware via an email. I don't know if it does that. I would hope it does that, right?
I don't know either if it does that or not. Yeah. The part I'm most intrigued about this product is Microsoft saying some people are going to be invited into a beta for this program going forward, and they're going to be adding more features. Identity theft protection is likely one of them.
That's interesting.
And secure online connections. So I guess there'll be some kind of a thing telling you.
So
is it secure?
We're gonna have to dig up a conversation we would have had about Windows Live 1 care about a million years ago, which is why on earth would I pay for a feature that Microsoft should provide for free because it's fixing a problem with Microsoft software?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, you could say that about all their products, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, why isn't this just part of Windows?
Yeah.
You know, by the way, if it's part of your Microsoft 365 subscription, mm-hmm. how about if I sign in with a Microsoft account that's tied to such a subscription, you just add this to Windows? You know, this separate download stuff is silly. I know, of course, you have to get it on other devices and all that. But.
Right. You know, it's a carrot to get people to subscribe. That's what it is, right?
I don't like this.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. Don't like it.
Defender's
like it at all.
A pretty good antivirus on Windows.
Yeah,
it is. And it comes with Windows. And, you know, I think it's as good as any other third party offering. And because it's built into Windows, I think it's
like that
preferable.
I don't have to install anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After a lot of back and forth with should we pay, should we not pay, blah, 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 mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
Defender mm-hmm. is part of Windows. It just works. It seems to work great. Yep. That's great.
Yep.
I think that's great. Yep. That was always the
also,
way to do it.
They do something which I think is good, which is, and it's interesting. I didn't know this, but reading about this, I found out. Mm-hmm. If you install a third-party antivirus on Windows, Defender steps back.
Yep.
That's right.
It does.
Yep.
It, goes, it says, okay, you have Norton installed, so.
Not going to, because you don't want conflicting antiviruses.
Right.
So
yep.
That's good.
Yep.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. That's a story.
Probably an antitrust era concession on Microsoft's part. But yes, that does.
Yeah, but, well, it's also going to make for better experiences because mm-hmm. you really don't want two viruses, antiviruses fighting each other.
That's right.
What is Viva? We talked about Viva before.
Oh, okay, this story. You already
this
know
one,
I'm
I was
going
to say, I was curious if you were going to try to defend this one.
No.
Speaking of things I do not like.
Well, first, what is Viva? Remind me. Refresh my memory.
So Viva is Microsoft's employee experience platform. There's all these different modules. It's an onboarding platform. Like if you're somebody coming new into a company, you can see all the notices about the company. You can have a list of things you need to read that they're saying, read this employee handbook, read this. Here's your learning path. It gives you all these different modules that it's mostly like an HR app, right? It does have some things in the knowledge management space. So if you're thinking like, who at this new company I just joined knows about Windows? You can type that in and see a list of people who work there who know about Windows.
I think it's fair to say this came out of the COVID era. Now we'll call it the hybrid work era where, you know, people just aren't going into offices like they used to.
Exactly.
So they need some way of onboarding new employees who aren't going to come to a place. So everything she said so far makes total sense.
It does.
Now describe the new thing.
Right. They announced last week, Microsoft announced something called Viva Sales. So when I saw the name of it, I said, oh, there's going to be a sales module for Viva? Nope. It's not a module of Viva. Does it integrate with Viva? Nope. Does it have anything to do with Viva? No.
It shares the name?
Has the name Viva at the beginning.
It's worse because it's really a CRM tool. Microsoft has a family of CRM products. Why isn't it called BizTalk something something?
You know what? No, Dynamics. You know why it's not called
Dynamics?
Because it's meant to integrate with other CRM platforms. So it's going to integrate with Salesforce also. So they thought, okay, if we brand this Dynamics, it's going to be confusing because using Dynamics with Salesforce? Okay, let's make it confusing in a different way. Let's use the word Viva in front of it that has nothing to do with Viva, but call it Viva Sales. I went back to them a few times. I'm like, so can you explain to me why this is branded Viva? And they're like, we're expanding the brand of what Viva represents. I'm like, okay, but like, what's this have to do with Viva? Nothing. It has the word experience in common, right? Like it's a sale, it's a sales assistant, a sales experience. What it is very cool. Actually, it's this tool that uses AI technology. It integrates with Teams. It integrates with Outlook. It integrates with the Office apps. So if you're somebody who's in sales and you don't want to have to keep going into your CRM system every time to put little notes in there about when your client's birthday is, what the client wanted last time you talked to them, this keeps track of all this stuff. So it's like a companion app for your CRM system. It's a great idea. Branding a Viva is
Microsoft
a terrible
sales.
Idea. That would. I said to them,
sales.
No, you know what I said? I'm like, what about Power Sales, like Power Apps, you know, like Power Apps, Power Platform? They're like, yeah, Mary Jo, it's called Viva Sales. That's what it's called.
I bet this thing gets rebranded. I'm going to just predict that right now. I don't think
I don't know.
Last
I just think it's a super confusing, right? And okay, they said there's going to be more of these. So they won't say exactly what the next ones will be, but they're hinting there could be like an IT one. What else did they say? There's going to be a whole bunch of the different ones in this family of Viva something, finance, Viva marketing, Viva finance, Viva IT. They didn't announce these, but they hinted strongly that this is what's coming. So yeah, I went back to them so many times because they gave me this under embargo and I'm like, so again, why is this called Viva something? Like, what am I missing here? Is there a Viva connection to this? They're like, well, no, not really. No.
Yeah, because if you know anything about Viva, you would naturally look for this connection.
You would.
And it just doesn't
exist. So it's a cool app idea. It's going to go into preview in July. It's going to be out later this year. It's probably timed with the Microsoft Partner Conference, is my guess, since it's coming out in July in preview. That's happening in July. But yeah, the Viva part of this was, to me, very confusing. Very, very confusing. Maybe it's just me. I don't think it is.
Viva sounds like it should be a pinata company. I don't know.
Or a paper towel.
Or maybe the balloon company could be called.
Or the Evel Knievel movie. Viva Knievel.
Yeah. But you know, onboarding is a big deal.
It is.
We're very proud. Michael just got a job with In-N-Out. He picked up his hat and his pants, and he has to watch I guess it's a film strip or something on sexual harassment, and it broke. Yep. So he can't do anything because he doesn't know how to harass people. So they've got to wait.
Can't work there.
He's got to wait until they fix the film strip or whatever it is. Had they had Microsoft Viva, well, he'd be ready and he'd be on the line right now.
Yes, he would.
Flipping the burgers.
Yep.
Microsoft will limit access to and functionality of its AI-based face recognition capabilities. I thought they'd already done this.
Kind of.
Didn't they say you can't use it for law enforcement already?
This is going a little deeper.
It is. Microsoft has this thing that's like their ethical AI document called the Responsible AI Standard. So yesterday they came out with version 2. And they made some very granular changes in this where if you're an existing customer using facial recognition or sentiment analysis or anything that you judges gender or anything using facial recognition, their facial recognition technology. If you're an existing customer, you're going to have about a year to apply to Microsoft and explain how you want to use this so they can say yes or no. If you're a new customer, you have a much shorter time frame, like a week or two before they're just going to say, no, we're not taking anybody for any of these things because we feel like they do more harm than good. It's very interesting because I remember when Microsoft first came out with sentiment analysis and an app that judged your age. Remember that one where you could put your picture in?
That's always popular.
That's another one where it's like, And, you know, they admit basically certain races and groups are because of image clarity issues are not being represented appropriately.
That's what they're blaming, image clarity issues?
Yeah, they are.
Lord.
You know what? That might be what happened with the Kinect, right? Remember when Paul used to always talk about the Kinect having issues seeing people of certain races, like who weren't just plain regular
Caucasian? Yeah, we had the little girl across the street was black and they wouldn't see her.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's terrible.
That was awful.
Is. Maybe that is what happened with the Kinect.
It could be.
And they didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, my God. You have to look like a new moon, a full moon, or we can't see you.
You're going to look like a pasty white person from Seattle is what he's trying to say.
God. That might literally be a lighting thing as opposed to a training thing.
Although
it's lighting and room size and all kinds of things. But
a lot of issues, right.
But that's the Kinect.
The reason they've stopped giving it to law enforcement is it over, more often than not, when it's a person of color.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
It will,
And I always thought that was training, though, not to...
We just started watching the new season of that show, Bosch, and this is actually a storyline.
Oh, interesting.
About facial recognition of law enforcement.
It's because it's trained on white people. It doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, but now they're actually saying it's a lighting issue? That's interesting.
Well, they said there's...
Well, that's one of the issues,
Right. That's part of this, right?
Oh, okay.
Potential said, problems with lighting, blur, and other image quality issues.
Yep.
Which may affect demographic groups more than others. But that sounds to me like they're saying they want to kind of pass the buck on the issue, really.
They're just explaining why the results are skewed.
Right.
I mean,
And they have a new API called Recognition Quality. So if you use this API, it'll say to you, hey, that image is potentially problematic, and maybe you want to get a better image.
Okay.
Good. So yeah, it's all this is good, right? All good stuff because a lot of this technology is being used in bad ways and incorrect ways, and it's like just because you can do something, should you? Not necessarily.
Right.
They're also taking away capabilities, which I find
they are
really interesting. Mm-hmm. So even if you pass this new bar, you know, they're not going to allow you to infer emotional states and identity attributes, as I call them, like gender, like, well, you said this, I guess, age, smile, facial hair, makeup.
Yeah.
These things are all being retired, you know, so they've really stepped back, you know, from what they were offering before. And they're making it a lot harder to gain access to it as well.
They are. Yep.
Really interesting.
Interesting. In the past, whenever we've talked about this, it's always been the flaw is in the training data, the machine learning data, and that it's not trained with a sufficient number of people of color, blah, blah, blah. Now they're saying it's a lighting issue. Right. That's interesting.
Well, I think it's like Paul said, it's both. It's more than one thing.
They don't really mention that. They talk about image quality.
Google's latest phones added a feature to detect skin color better and process photos better for people of color. I think this is the same issue, which, you know, in
image
other words,
quality.
You have all these auto-correct features built into phones and cameras and things, and they're mostly designed for white people.
Yeah. No, I understand. You know? I'm just saying, up to now, it's been widely reported, we've reported, that it's underrepresentation of people of color in the training data. And now they're saying, well, it's not even that, or maybe in addition to that, although I don't see in addition.
I think it's both. I think it's both.
Did they say in addition?
The photos we have, what's that?
Did they say in addition?
Sorry.
I don't know. I didn't
try
to
skim this blog
post.
They're not blaming one thing. They're saying it's a bunch of things.
Okay. Okay. That's more data. I'd like to hear more about that.
I think the main thing to know is that they are being much more granular in how they look at what these things are that they have and what they can do, because they have all kinds of technologies with computer vision, facial recognition, sentiment analysis, cognitive services. Like, you can do a lot of things with what they have, and if you're not wanting to do good things, you can definitely use these for evil, right? Like, this technology could easily be used for that.
And with AI-based products in particular, it's more important than ever to ask why are we doing this, not just can we do this, which is...
No, and Microsoft's classic. Been very, especially in the past few years, proactive about this ethical AI stuff.
They have people doing this, which is good.
Microsoft's
responsible AI standard,
Yeah.
I think that's good. They say, you can't judge a person's emotions by their facial expressions.
Obviously.
No, people have those faces, right? I mean, we all know about this. I mean,
I always think my wife is angry.
There's a guy at the gym every day who looks like he wants to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And then I saw someone walked up to him and he just started talking. And I realized that's just what his face looks like. He's actually a really happy guy.
I always think Lisa's mad.
But he looks like he's ready to.
But she's not. She just looks that way.
Guys, RBF, it's real. All I'm going to say.
I know what you're talking about.
For sure.
I have it. I definitely have it. Like, I'll be looking at people like.
Yeah, when strangers are like, what's wrong? And you're like, what?
I actually.
You're like, nothing
until
now.
As I get older, I force myself to smile because I realize as you get older, this is why older people tend to look grouchier. Your muscle tone in your face it weakens.
Right.
And so I'm starting to look like Vincent Gardenia, you know, like I'm going around like this. and I actively pull my muscles up and try to smile more so people don't think I have resting Gardenia
face. Why is that guy baring his teeth at me? What's going on?
That's why you hang upside down every morning on a trapeze.
It worked for Richard Gere. I should be doing that. All right. Yeah, this is actually a very... I'll read this blog post because it talks about what the issues are, and I think that that's actually of real importance.
You should read it so I don't have to.
Well,
exactly.
I mean, here's why I bring it up. if it's just a training data problem, you can improve your data sets.
Right.
If there are issues with, you know, like cameras that can't pick up.
Well, you have to. Right. The training data sets are formed from pictures, right?
Right.
Right.
But most of which are not taken on a Pixel 6. So those pictures are going to be terrible.
So it's a different thing you'd have to fix. It's not merely adding more people of color to your training. You have to make sure you're capturing it properly.
The pictures
and the problem
better.
Is with things like Clearview AI, they're just scraping pictures from Facebook and the internet, which are all, you know, taken with potato cameras. So.
And this is, like I said, on this TV show, literally the stop, you know, they have an image from a robbery or whatever, and it's like, you thought this guy was this guy.
Right.
You know,
oh, it happens
it's like,
all
no,
the time.
I didn't think that. Yeah. We have facial recognition software, and it told us it was that guy.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it like, that's not that guy.
Yeah. You can tell there's horrific stories of people being arrested, jailed.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because of face recognition technology, they just got it wrong.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Errors that were originally attributed to fairness issues, the blog post reads, were caused by poor image quality. So that's what I'm talking about. Is it fairness or is it poor image quality? If the image someone submits is too dark or blurry, the model may not be able to match it correctly. We acknowledge this poor image quality could be unfairly concentrated among demographic groups. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they have a graphic here that talks about this. And, you know, that's also the problem is that the security cameras are notoriously horrible.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the police are going, well, you know, it matched. Well, yeah, but it was a terrible picture. It, you know, that didn't mean anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just...
No.
That's new data.
I'm glad you read into it. We don't have time to read these 3,000 words.
I don't either, normally.
We don't have time to learn about what we're talking about, Leo. Come on.
We don't. Come on. You have like 10 seconds to write a story. It's like,
I know. I'm with you. Believe me. We sometimes, on some of our shows, have 200 or 300 stories in the rundown.
Right? Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, I'll read it when we're on.
Exactly.
Microsoft said something.
something. Here's something, my hot take on that. Yep. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't say that? Oh, never mind.
I will render a ruling.
But, you know. Ask me about Rupert Murdoch and Jerry Hall, and I have an opinion, okay? Never mind. There's no real metaverse, but there is a standards organization. Woohoo!
Of course there is, right?
I guess, though, if you're going to have standards, you should start at the beginning.
Get ahead of it. Yeah, you should.
The Metaverse Standards Forum. Is Microsoft in it?
They are.
Good. Is Apple in it?
Are they?
No.
No.
Come on.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Is Facebook in it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Are they?
Meta?
Oh, yeah, they are.
NVIDIA,
sorry,
Microsoft, Autodesk, Adobe, Alibaba, Epic Games, Huawei, Qualcomm, and Sony. IKEA,
you know,
and Wayfair.
Google, AWS.
I don't see Google or Apple. And both of them are supposedly getting very big in
Magic
all
Leap?
This.
Nope.
Interesting.
Yeah, instead you get IKEA and Wayfair, right?
Well, they've got just what I need.
Don't they? They always do.
They always do. That's really interesting. So the standards they're going to talk about are interoperability?
It sounds kind of like the metaverse itself at this point. It's everything. Right?
Nonsense.
There's enterprise, there's gaming, there's consumer, there's web standards, there's financial standards.
One concern people have had is that there'll be metaverses from Apple, Google, Meta.
Exactly.
And then never the twain shall meet. So, you know, it's like the messaging situation we have now where you just have.
Correct.
And I don't want to be a blue bubble in anybody's metaverse.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
You don't. No.
Yeah. Key standard.
It does include some existing standards groups like World Wide Web Consortium, the Web 3D Consortium.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Good. All right. And NVIDIA is very big into it because they're probably making the chips for a lot of this stuff.
And Qualcomm, which is interesting too. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's very, it's good that Meta's in it because they're right now, I think, the leaders. Well, Microsoft somewhat with HoloLens.
Yeah.
But you really would.
Yeah, on the enterprise.
You would want to see Apple and Google involved. But
yeah, you would.
Right. The Metaverse Standards Forum.
Well, we don't really know what they're doing, and that might have something to do with it. They could join when they have something to announce.
They don't like to talk about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, they
both
joined, you know, they joined Matter, and they both have smartphone or smart home ecosystems, so that made sense. But they're still not out in the world with what they're doing in the metaverse, so that might be why, to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Let me do a quick ad here, and then we will talk about Copilot. Now that Christina Warren's at GitHub, we should get her on to talk about it, actually.
Yeah.
This has been a little controversial, I have to say.
Yep.
It is. Be.
Our show today brought to you by New Relic. If you're an engineer, if you're responsible to keep keeping the servers rolling, you probably have received that middle-of-the-night phone call, the dreaded call. The server's down, the cloud's down, the app's not working, something's wrong. Now you've got to leap from your bed, your cozy, comfortable bed, and figure it out. And if you don't, if you haven't implemented observability, this may be a challenge. What? Where did it go down? Is it the back end? Is it the front end? Is it global? Is it the server? You know, recently Cloudflare had a big outage, right? Can you imagine all the engineers are going, you know, we don't know what's wrong, but people can't get through. And if you don't have, again, if you don't have observability, you might not have a way to find out. Is it the network? Is it the cloud provider? Do we have slow running queries? Is it your worst nightmare? I pushed a bug in my last deploy. And you got a team probably running around from tool to tool. The boss is on the line. Quick, what's going on? And you're just, your heart's pounding. Only half of all organizations, according to New Relic, have implemented observability in their networks and systems. That means half of the entire engineering world is doing this, you know, this running around like crazy. Maintaining network observability is really an issue for companies around the world. But if you have New Relic, you have no problems. New Relic combines 16 of the best monitoring products in one, tools you'd probably buy separately. But because they're all in one stack, they all work together. You've got this great place to go where you can say what's wrong and find out immediately. There's application monitoring, APM for your apps and microservices. If you use Kubernetes, Pixie is amazing for instant Kubernetes observability. You've got distributed tracing so you can see all your traces across the entire globe. So you know exactly where, oh, it's Cloudflare. You'd know immediately. Network performance monitoring so you don't have to guess where the performance issues start. No more data silos. You get a system-wide correlated view. And that's just four of the 16 tools. And most importantly, if you are pushing updates, you can pinpoint issues down to the line of code. So, you know, you'll know exactly what happened and resolve it quickly. That's why the dev and ops teams at DoorDash use New Relic. GitHub uses New Relic. Epic Games, more than 14,000 other companies use New Relic to debug and improve their software. It really works. And here's the good news. Whether you run a cloud-native startup or a Fortune 500 company, it just takes 5 minutes to set up New Relic in your environment. And I've got even better news for you. Now you can do it for free. Look, that middle-of-the-night phone call could be tonight. You better get New Relic now before it does. You can access the whole New Relic platform and 100 gigabytes of data per month, absolutely free, forever. You don't even need to give them a credit card. So there's no reason not to put New Relic on your system right now. And of course, if you need more, you can get more. Sign up at newrelic.com/windows. newrelic.com/windows. If you don't have New Relic, you got problems. You don't want that middle of the night phone call to happen. Call new, well, you don't have to call. Visit newrelic.com/windows. And please do the /windows. I know you're smart. You could just go to New Relic. But if you use the /windows, then they know you saw it on Windows Weekly. And that makes a big difference for us. newrelic.com/windows. I think we deserve this for introducing you, right? newrelic.com/windows. All right. Speaking of GitHub, Copilot, which for the last year has been in beta, a really cool way to steal code from other open source developers, is now $10 a month.
You always knew Microsoft was going to come back somehow with this GitHub thing, right?
Exactly.
Is this the fear that we all had?
Well, and I already saw one user on Twitter saying, hey, I love Copilot. I've been using it. but I'm an open source developer and I am not going to pay them because that money does not go to the people who wrote the original code.
Oh, right. So hold on. Hold on, everyone. Maintainers of popular open source projects get it for free.
Okay.
Verified students get it for free.
Okay.
Everybody else, $10 per month or $100 per year.
This is Microsoft. They looked over at Stack Exchange. They said 99% of the code people are writing these days is copied and pasted from Stack Exchange.
Right.
So why don't we have something like that? And I guess that's fair. But when you're copying code from Stack Exchange, there is a person who has put it on Stack Exchange as a solution to a question. Mm-hmm. This is what they're just skimming through open source projects, public projects, obviously.
Public projects.
And if they
are you suggesting that AI is not writing code to complete someone else's project, Leo?
Oh, is that what Microsoft says? This is AI?
No, that's what I assumed it was when I first heard.
Yeah, I wish AI were there, but yeah. You know.
So they say AI is there. They say it's built on OpenAI's Codex, which is trained on billions of publicly available source code lines. That's how they say.
So it's trained. Okay.
Okay.
Right. But we've seen, and maybe it's better. But when it first came out, we saw examples where it was cut whole cloth from the original code, including comments, errors, you know.
This sounds like the coding version of Word saying, it looks like you're trying to write a letter. You know, it's like, it looks like you're trying to sort an array. Here's an example of that code from Stack Overflow or whatever. You know, uncredited.
Right.
Yeah.
Stack Overflow, probably that's what I should have said, not Stack Exchange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody in the chat rooms use Copilot?
Yeah, I'm curious if people are.
So I'd love to talk to somebody who's a coder who's, it's kind of integrated into, I think, VS Code and Visual Studio Code. So if Visual Studio, so if you're typing, it is kind of like Clippy.
It's the next level of
IntelliSense or whatever they call it, feature in Visual Studio.
Yeah. Here's a whole paragraph. You know, here's a whole paragraph of code that's doing what you're trying to do. And I would hope that programmers, but of course they don't with Stack Overflow.
All you got to type now is like an open curly brace, and then the rest of it just fills in. You're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on the comment you wrote above it.
Yeah. You know? Judge in our IRC says it's excellent, especially for C Sharp. Yeah. In fact, that's Microsoft says that it's particularly good. Oh, well, actually, they say Python, JavaScript, TypeScript, Ruby, and Go, which are all very popular open source languages. C-sharp is maybe a little less popular.
Hey.
I saw someone saying, when are they going to sell you the second tool that tells you mistakes in your code that goes along with this?
That's the tool you need. Right. A lot of languages have linters and things like that.
Yeah.
But
that's
also a hard thing. Yeah, there's stuff like that.
Yeah.
Free for verified students, free for maintainers of popular. Did they say what popular open source?
There's a whole thing on their site that explains what
I'm
qualifies.
Popular.
Asterisk, there's no such thing as the popular open source project.
I'm popular. So you'd actually have to go to the Copilot subscription page. Yeah. Okay, and see if you're on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, it was free until now.
Yeah, it was. Right.
So I'll be very curious to see if this strategy works.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah. This, I mean, you know, people do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the name of a podcast?
It is.
The Directions on Microsoft Briefing.
Yes.
I don't
it's
even
a
know
podcast
what that means.
I do.
Oh, that's yours?
It's a podcast I do.
What does that mean?
Okay, so there's a company in Kirkland, Washington called Directions on Microsoft.
Oh.
They're
I need to know that ahead of time.
Yeah, you do.
So it's a briefing on this company. Oh, I get it.
I get it. So every month I interview one of their analysts about different topics and then we put it up as a podcast. So the one I did this month I think would be of interest to our listeners on Windows Weekly. It's free, by the way. Anybody can go listen to it. It's all about gotchas when you're using Power Platform. So I got the analyst who is the expert on Power Platform and he gave us the top five gotchas to know before you start using Power Platform in your business. And man, they've tried to simplify the licensing in Power Platform and they've done quite a bit, Microsoft has, to fix it. But there are still so many ways that you can get caught and end up paying these giant bills for Power Platform and Power Apps, Power Automate. Like if you're not careful and you don't know all the little ins and outs of it, you could definitely get caught and you have no recourse. So if you listen to this podcast, if you go to directionsonmicrosoft.com and you go to the directions briefing, he goes through these five top ones that he's got customers who've been burned by. And it's very good. I think it would be very good if you're thinking about using Power Platform in your organization to listen to this first before you start using it wholesale.
Mashed Potato wants to know who does the Xbox segment on this podcast.
Is there an Xbox thing? I think it's only Enterprise.
Is there an Xbox analyst at Directions on Microsoft? Are they
hiring?
There
is not.
I apologize. Hey, I was ignorant. I didn't know there was a company called Directions on Microsoft.
There is. See, that's why
these guys.
Yeah,
these guys
have so
provide
much
a very valuable
right?
service.
Interesting.
They do.
They're analysts.
They are, and experts on licensing. Like if you are
an expert on Microsoft licensing in particular,
yeah.
It is the thing that Microsoft does not explain clearly ever.
Intentionally, right? Because if you don't know,
so it's not for investors. It's for people who are who are licensing Microsoft.
It's for business customers, right?
Got it.
All sizes of business customers. And we do different episodes every month.
I didn't know you were a podcaster, Mary Jo.
Who knew?
That's great.
You spoke to Wes Miller a while back about Windows on ARM. What was his takeaway, you know, from
that's another episode, he's very much a doubter on the platform. He's like, it really hasn't gone anywhere. I don't know where it's going to go. But he had some really interesting things to say about ways that you can run Windows on ARM through Parallels and other ways on M1 Macs. He's like, he went to Microsoft and he said, give me the exact legal stance of how you can do this. What's supported, what's not supported.
There is no legal stance. That's the problem.
There's a way you can do it.
What?
Yes. There's a way you can do it.
In what way?
But you're unsupported. You're unsupported.
Right. Okay. Right. In other words, you have to stay in the Insider program. Yeah, exactly.
You do. Right.
Okay.
You don't even have to stay in the Insider program. You don't have to be in the Insider program, but if you run it, you're at your own risk.
Yeah, there's no support. Yeah.
So for most businesses, most businesses aren't going to want to do this, right? Because if you want to use it in a business and then something goes wrong, Microsoft will just say, it's not supported, sorry.
Yeah.
That may change, right? Like, that may change at some point. But
Parallels implied to me a year ago that this was going to change. And I think something didn't come through that was supposed to.
No, Microsoft didn't play along. That's why. They never released.
But they very clearly were talking about doing it because they said
they couldn't say, look, it's happening. They thought there would be.
They literally, they told me, they said late August, early September, we're going to have some good news to share.
No, I remember that. And they also said pending a deal with Microsoft. They needed Microsoft to play along, which didn't happen. So that's episode 5. Actually, I know a lot of our audience would be very interested in that. It's called Windows on Mac, Directions on Microsoft.
It is a sad reality that the best way to run Windows on ARM today is through virtualization with Parallels on an M1-based Mac. It runs better than any native hardware solution.
There were rumors about why Microsoft wouldn't support this. And one rumor that Rich Woods at XDA Developers continues to talk about is he said Microsoft had an exclusive deal with Qualcomm, right? When
That's
Apple
right.
came out with the M1 chip, right,
that.
It was like, we're not supporting that, right?
That's right. But that exclusive deal is over. When he revealed that, I think it was at the end of the line on that, right? So now we have
another
question.
So that may change.
Yeah.
You know, once there's an ISO of this, then you'll be like, maybe the deal's over now, right?
Right.
Well, that's the other thing. There isn't.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There isn't yet.
Yeah. And by the way, not to get off on a weird tangent, but here's something to consider. You can enroll any PC in the Windows Insider program, and you can choose between the dev, beta, and release preview channels. Mm-hmm. If you do so in the dev channel on a normal computer, like an x86, x64 computer, it's kind of a one-way dead-end street in the sense that if you want to go back to the normal stable channel, you have to reinstall Windows from scratch. But that's easy. You can download that from the web. Your computer will automatically activate. It just works. It's fine. Every once in a while, there's a window that opens where you can go from dev to beta, And once you're in beta, you can do what Leo is doing, which is say, you know, flip that switch that says, hey, when this version of Windows is released, put me back on stable. And so that there's a kind of a, it's a little complex, but it's an out. It's a way to get out of the Insider program. If you do this on a Windows on ARM device, you're screwed. There's no ISO. So if you put your machine in dev, you're dead. You're dead in the water forever. Like you're stuck there forever unless you think during, unless you can figure out one of those windows and then work your way back that way. But there is no way to pave this thing from orbit and install from an ISO. There are, you know, enthusiasts made ISOs, but I mean, Microsoft will not give you an ISO. It's a very strange situation.
Yep, it is. And no one has explained from Microsoft really, like, why not, right? Like, that's the big question, why not? And if it's because they have some kind of a NDA, you know, secret agreement with Qualcomm, that may be why, right?
Yeah, but I don't understand. Yeah, I don't know.
So if that agreement did happen, it should be over soon or maybe already over. So something should change, right?
Or the thing that changed was Qualcomm came back and said, no, we're buying Nuvia. This is costing us a lot of money. Yeah, let's extend this thing. You know, right. I mean, I feel like we don't know if
that deal ever happened for sure. Like, we don't know 100%
yeah,
that, for
that's
sure.
Right. Right. That's right. Well, but as soon as that story came out, there were Samsung and I don't know if it was MediaTek, one of the other companies, publicly expressed interest in supporting Windows on ARM for some reason.
Right. But
you know, Qualcomm has invested untold billions in this project as it is. They purchased Nuvia. They're spending 2 years getting these things to come out. You could imagine they're not necessarily interested in having a lot of competition. You know, at this point, they've spent so much on this. And it wouldn't surprise me to discover that if there is such a deal, it was extended for that reason.
Yeah, it was a 2016 deal, and so that's why people are assuming that maybe in 2021 it ran. But I do note Rich Woods says in the original article, one thing I wasn't able to learn is when the deal will expire. Mm. So, yeah, it could still be effective.
Yeah.
Imagine which would explain this, all that work to get everything to where it is. And then Microsoft's like, all right, other companies can do it now.
Yeah.
You know,
well, but imagine Parallels, who is fully expecting Microsoft to offer an ISO.
They very clearly were expecting it.
Yeah.
Not just an ISO, but the ability to activate it and make it real.
Yeah.
Have support from Microsoft.
Yep.
Interesting.
Very clearly they thought it was happening.
Yeah.
So as good as the direction on Microsoft Briefing podcast is, there's one thing it doesn't have that we have, and that is, ladies and gentlemen,
the gamification of everything, baby.
The Xbox segment. Paul Thurrott. And after all, somebody's got to feed Sirachi, so.
Yeah, this is actually kind of an interesting week. So, you know, Mary Jo, we've been just talking about Windows and ARM, and one of the things Mary Jo mentioned up at the front of the show was, it's kind of weird. Like, all of a sudden, this has gotten a lot of attention, especially given that no one's really using it. And the other thing at Microsoft that's a little bit like this, in the same sense that, like, there's not really a lot of people using it. It is sort of seen as the future. But, you know, we'll see, is that Xbox Cloud Gaming Service, which is formerly xCloud, which is part of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which is at $15 a month subscription. So Xbox Cloud Gaming, there's been a lot of news around that this year as well. It's heading to more and more devices. Microsoft kind of infamously and notoriously canceled their little streaming stick they were going to do, but they're going to put it on smart TVs, and we know it's going everywhere. But one of the places you can play it today is on PCs, and that's really interesting. And soon you'll be able to play games from your own catalog. That's super interesting. But if you want to play on a PC, of course, you don't necessarily want to use a controller. You want to use a keyboard and a mouse. And so that's actually coming soon, according to a leak, I guess we'll call it, via The Verge. So, well, I guess it's not a leak. I guess it's official. I'm sorry. It's not a leak. But Microsoft is working to reduce the latency, which is the thing that's killing Xbox cloud gaming today, at least for me, and optimizing it for the different platforms on which it runs. And one of those ways they're going to do that is to bring keyboard and mouse support to the PC. And I think this kind of puts it over the top. So that's cool. So we'll see, you know, if and when that happens.
When are they going to add dog support? Because that would
dog
really
support?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Only a dog would put up with that. Dogs are so dumb.
It's not dumb. It's like loving. We're showing an animated GIF of Xbox controller. Probably people have seen this because I've seen it many times.
Yeah. So that's the old Xbox controller. So I think when he rubs his nose, it's taking a screenshot.
I'm glad it's not a cat. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, the cat would never put up with that.
No, but we do have an animated GIF of Mary Jo filing her stories and working for
That looks surprisingly accurate.
The only problem is it's on an Apple computer, and we know you would never. Yeah, well, that's how we know it's a fraudulent.
Exactly.
That's how you know it's fraudulent. That was the tip-off, the Mac?
Yep, it was. That was it.
All right, back to Xbox. That was it. You're done.
No, there's more.
Oh, okay.
That's it for that particular story, but there's more Xbox.
Yes.
So I don't know why this is news today, because this has actually been a problem for over a year now, but Xbox wireless controllers are actually really hard to find right now because of, the typical supply disruption issue. So Microsoft has come out with a statement about it, and they're like, "Yep, this is the thing. We're working as fast as we can to fix this. Check your local retailer, blah, 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 whatever." But I had to buy a replacement controller last year. I waited like 6 weeks for it. And when you went on Amazon or whatever, the prices were all inflated and everything. I don't think this is a new thing, but I guess somebody, an online publication, or actually it might even be a print publication, asked them about it. So they issued a statement and they're like, "Yeah, no, this is a big problem. I guess it's worse in Europe than it is in the U.S. But I've had serious problems getting Xbox controllers, and it's tied to that component shortage issue.
It's so weird, this supply chain thing. I mean, we were talking about this on Mac Break Weekly yesterday. It's not just it could be anything. It could be twist ties for your garbage bags. I mean, it's just, my dry cleaner, I bring back the hangers after, I bring back in the shirts, and he says, "Thank you, because we can't get these anymore."
Right. Yeah, we recycle our egg cartons with the local
same
people
thing.
Because same issue.
Supply chain has just gone mad, you know?
Yeah, I think we're basically playing supply roulette now, where it's like, what is not available during this particular time frame? I think this is going to be the way it is for a long time.
Yeah, maybe forever. Maybe this is the new normal. I don't know. But, we kind of went all in on this just-in-time manufacturing. Yep. And it's very, it turns out, fragile.
Yes. And our kids are going to, when they talk about the good old days are going to be when you could just get anything you wanted the next day.
Yeah.
No matter what it was. It's going to sound like science fiction.
They're going to say, "You turn on the tap and water came out. It's amazing."
Let's hope it doesn't go that far.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
Yep.
Far Cry 5.
Yeah. So it's it just was the middle of the month. So Microsoft announced the next set of games that are coming to the console over the second half of this month and then into next month. And actually, the last of these games, which is coming out on July 1st, is Far Cry 5. I want to say that's the most recent version. It is the most recent version I've played. It's a great game, actually.
So it looks one. I like Far Cry, and
it looks most of those games are actually really good. Yeah. So that's the biggest one to me. But FIFA 2022 is in there. Three Shadowrun games. That's
nice,
interesting. If I'm not mistaken, the original Shadowrun, I think, was the first crossplay game that went to Xbox. I think you could play it across. It was the 360 at the time, probably. Yeah, Xbox 360 and PC. I think I believe that was a crossplay game a million years ago. But not these games. These are more recent games. Shadowrun Returns, Shadowrun Dragonfall, and Shadowrun Hong Kong. Okay.
Nice.
And then finally, speaking of ways to improve PC gaming, the Xbox app on PC, which is the way you access that Xbox cloud gaming service, by the way, has added a performance indicator. And the idea here is that before you download a game, it will say, "Hey, this game will play well on your PC or PCs that are similar to your PC." Yeah, it's smart. It's it's kind of like the old, remember Windows Vista introduced, Vista introduced this notion of like a you had PC performance profiles and control panel where it would tell you
remember
your
that.
Score,
Yeah.
The Windows Experience Index he pulls out of his behind, or WEI.
Very good. I'm impressed, Paul.
Yeah, you get a score for your CPU.
You can't remember what you were doing when you pressed the search key, but you sure can remember the Windows Experience Index.
Esoterica from Windows Past. That's just common sense. It's good because, you know, you look at a game, you're like, yeah, I might want to do this, but, you know, make sure your PC is good enough to do it.
So, yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
It's good.
What was the game?
Okay, this just in. Hold on. We have to have a quick update here. Windows on ARM update here.
Oh.
Our friend Taro Elhonen, who listens all the time to us, said there was a Q&A and somebody asked Microsoft about Windows on ARM licensing, image ISO availability, and VMs. They said, we will be sharing details later this summer in terms of licensing and acquisition of both the Volterra devices and other options in terms of ISO availability, VMs, etc. They said this at Build.
Okay, that's
so this summer.
That's
we
more than
something.
They've said. That's better than we have nothing to share.
That's correct. You know? Yep. So something is going to be said.
For Microsoft, that's actually pretty transparent. So this was in a Build session. Did we know who that was or what the session was? I wouldn't mind.
He tweeted it to us, so you can get a link on it.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Yep.
That's good. Somebody actually went to the sessions. There's so much information.
I've watched several of those. Actually, this last Build was one of the best Builds in recent years that I can think of. It was a good show.
It's so great that they're on demand now because you can watch them. You can go to all of them if you want.
You can.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just think that's really great.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Horizon Zero Dawn?
No.
Do you know this game? Paris Martineau was singing. Well, the new one just came out, and she was singing its praises on Sunday on Twit. Hmm. And it's available for Windows, but not
what type of game is it?
The plot follows Aloy, a young huntress in a world overrun by machines.
I'll just stop you right there. That doesn't sound like a Call of Duty game, so I probably have not played that.
What she loved about it is it's like at the distant future, but you can kind of see remnants of the former world in it.
Oh, I love that. That was my the Sword of Shannara, which is not the way you say that, but in the very beginning, there's this indication that the world you're in is actually the remains of Earth, and it's like the skyscrapers are sticking through the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that kind of stuff.
Damn dirty apes, you did it! Exactly. You did it!
Yep.
Yeah. The new one is only... I know why you don't know it, because it's PlayStation, basically, and the new one's PlayStation only. But, and I can't, which means I can't play it. But the old one I can play on Steam, so I might. All right, I just thought I'd get, you know, from my game guru. You're my game guru.
I shouldn't be. I'm sorry.
Far Cry 6 is out. In fact, Far Cry 6 is the one that has the guy from Breaking Bad in it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That one I've not played.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's the older. It was
that guy's name? San Giacomo or something?
Yeah. Oh, he's so good. He's
the
good
voice of the Sonos voice assistant.
What?
Yes,
now I'm going to use Sonos voice assistant. That makes it interesting. Huh.
You don't want to cross him, though. He's like, you know, he'd be like, I want to listen to some dance music. He's like, you listen to rock and you'll like it. You're like, okay.
Would you like some chicken with that?
Exactly.
All right. Let's back of the book is next. We've got a tip of the week, an app of the week, an enterprise pick, one and two of the week, and a beer of the week. I'm happy to say all coming up. In just a moment. We're in the big room with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley.
It's scary.
Something went wrong. Mary Jo couldn't hear me in the little room. It is scary in here, isn't it?
It wasn't my fault, though. Just say that.
No, in fact, you were maligned because the first thing they said is, well, it's Mary Jo, we're sending her audio. And then they said, oh, we're not sending her audio. Never mind. So apologies, Mary Jo. Look at how big room is.
I know. Wow.
Yeah, it's gigantic. You've been in here.
Yeah, I have. Yep.
You know, Paul, have you ever been to the newer studio?
Not the new one, no.
It's not as big as the original brick house. That thing was cavernous. Yeah.
Right.
Now a tiki bar is opening next door. And now I'm sad that we're not there. Yeah. There's going to be a tiki bar in Petaluma. Next time you're in town, we'll all go to the tiki bar.
Wow.
Interesting.
Because I know it'll close within minutes. That place is, seriously, there were three or four restaurants in there while we were there that just, and two of them, they walked away. The tables are still set. I was watching the flowers slowly die. It was sad.
Oh, jeez.
They didn't, it's like, well, we're out of here.
Yeah. So,
and meanwhile, the most successful breakfast place in all of Petaluma is just across the street. So I don't know. Is it location? I don't know what it is. Anyway, enough of Petaluma. I'm not, honest, swear to God, not in the Petaluma Chamber of Commerce. I am not promoting Petaluma, except it's a great place. It's a great place. And you should come visit us and have some beer. Beer coming up, but first a word from our sponsor, Acronis. You know Acronis. For years, we were recommended and often used Acronis True Image. Going back many years, it was the, you know, drive. It is the drive imaging tool. Well, they have now bundled True Image into a new product called the Acronis Cyber Protect Home Office that protects you all in one, everything you need to keep your digital world safe. Not just from hard drive failure and coffee spills, but from cyber threats, too. It's the only cyber protection solution that delivers a unique integration of data protection and cybersecurity in one. Everything you need to safeguard your device. Windows, Mac, Android, and iOS. You get quick backup and recovery. That's one of the best things about True Image, is it's so quick to get everything. All your apps, all your files, your configuration, your installation, your passwords, everything saved in one file, which you can restore almost instantly within just a few minutes. It's why we used it on the TV show, because if it crashed on a live show, we've got to get it back up and running fast. So we'd always have images ready to go on the second drive on our computers. Now they have you can not only back up to that second drive, but you can also back up to the Acronis Cloud. So you've got that kind of quick restore available from the cloud as well. You can also restore individual files, which is really great. And you can use Acronis Cyber Protect Home Office to create direct cloud-to-cloud backups of your Microsoft 365 account. You don't have to download it and upload it. It just goes cloud-to-cloud. And that includes your Outlook.com mailbox and all the contents of your OneDrive. So really, these days, with modern Windows, it's not enough to back up your local hard drive. You got to back up your OneDrive, too, and it does it automatically. You also get advanced cybersecurity, which will stop any cyber attack from damaging your data, your applications, your systems. It blocks attacks in real time before malware, ransomware, or cryptojackers can cause damage. You'll also find any hidden infections that may be lurking on your system with flexible antivirus scans. That's really important if you're doing imaging, because imaging backs up everything. And if you've got malware in your system, it will back that up, unless you have Acronis Cyber Protect Home Office. You want it scans before you do the image. How important is that, right? Easy management, because you've got it all in one tool. Reduce the cost, the complexity, and the risk of using multiple incompatible solutions. You'll simplify your protection by managing everything through a simple, intuitive interface. And with Acronis famous two-click setup and set and forget options, you'll spend less time messing with the computer and more time just rest assured that your entire digital world is protected with integrated protection. Acronis Cyber Protect Home Office. If you're going to image, you need to scan it first. It's more than just a backup. It's more than just an antivirus. It's peace of mind knowing your devices and backups are protected. Your data is safe, accessible, private, and authentic. And, of course, secure. Keep your digital world safe from all threats with the only cyber protection solution that delivers a unique integration of data protection and cybersecurity in one. It used to be Acronis True Image. It's now Acronis Cyber Protect Home Office. This would really make sense to add this to True Image. So, and I love it that you can back up cloud to cloud your Microsoft 365, your Outlook mailbox, and your OneDrive. That's a total solution. Go.acronis.com/ww. Again, go.acronis.com/ww. This is for anybody using Windows or Mac or iOS or Android or all four. This is a great solution. Go.acronis.com/ww. Now time for the back of the book. We go back to Paul Thurrott for his tip of the week.
Yeah, so I mentioned this a few weeks back, but I had written, or I now have written, a series of articles about the new features in Windows 11 version 22H2. I think there were probably 12 or 13 articles. And this kind of raises that issue that I think Mary Jo was asking about a few weeks ago, which is this in some ways a major release, or what's going on here? And I got to say, overall, no.
But this is right? surprising. I mean, you've got, look how many articles you've got. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I'm going to have to read all of this, you know?
So I think I'm of two minds of this. I mean, for one thing, there are so many things a lot of us would have said they could have done and didn't, which I think is a little shocking, you know. Of the things they did do, there are only a couple that strike me as being kind of major and important. I think the additions to Snap are particularly good, and the accessibility stuff, especially live captions. Like, so system-wide live captions is kind of amazing. And that means you could, you know, it's not just for audio and video content. Like if you're watching a movie, like on YouTube that doesn't have captions, whatever, you could be doing a live video chat with somebody using an application that doesn't support live captioning of, you know, real-time content or real-time conversation. And it will live caption that. That's neat. Does this warrant like a new product version? I don't know. It's, you know, it's the way we're doing.
Hey, Apple would do it. You know, I mean,
yeah. There's a bunch of little things.
You also don't know, but you know what? You still don't know if File Explorer is going to be in there.
Right? Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's also like it's a hazy thing. So, you know, the build that is 22H2 is evolving still, and Tabs is one thing. There will be new features added over time. It's kind of a moving target. It's hard to point to something and say this is it. If you buy a new Windows 11 based PC, you know, in December, let's say, and it comes with this version on it, well, I bet one of the first things you'll do is turn the thing on. It will update, and there'll be a couple more new features added to it. So it's kind of hard to say, but it puts Windows in a, to me, you know, just being old school and having been around for such a long time, it's weird for me because when I think of things like Windows 95 is this thing, you know, or Windows Vista is this thing. And yeah, they updated those things over time too. But Windows 11 is the haziest version of Windows, I think, ever. And this second version, so to speak, I think really highlights that nicely because, you know, the apps are all on their own path. They can update the operating system in different ways now and will and have in the past. And that kind of proves it. And the sets thing, I think, or not sets, the File Explorer tabs. I think points to that as well. So
you should, that could be the title of the new book, The Hazy Shade of Winders.
Yes. Speaking of which, I know a lot of people have been waiting for the Windows 11 field guide.
Oh, yes.
I did build my first test version of the book on LeanPub over the week. No, actually, I did it last night. I'm sorry. So it's still by July-ish, you know.
All right. I got to ask you about this, too. I'm looking at your article on accessibility. And I see you and Stephanie. Are you recording a YouTube video here?
Yeah, we have a couple of videos we made about the Mexico apartment.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. So, like, for people who are looking to buy in Mexico, like a how-to thing or things to watch out for?
Yeah, how not to in many ways.
I'm so glad you did that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Is that youtube.com/Paul Thurrott?
No, Thurrott? It's...
Where would I find
you
that?
Know, YouTube doesn't... We don't have enough users to have like a custom...
Well, I'm going to get you 1,000 users. You get a custom URL. So just search for Thurrott, maybe?
You could search for Eternal Spring.
Really?
You probably do it.
Really? Okay. Eternal Spring. No, I'm afraid there are far too many other things.
It should be there. No, it's not near the top.
There's right, a lot I'll of eternal it. Springs.
Yeah, there sure are.
Hope springs eternal? Is that what we... Look, there's even a Joe Rogan. Where does God fit in an infinite universe? Right, I don't know. And then Kataro's eternal spring. And
all right, well, I linked to this stuff on Twitter. I don't know.
I don't know where my stuff is. Maybe if I do Eternal Spring Thurrott.
Well, because you get, you know, they give you like a baloney URL that I couldn't possibly reset.
Oh, I get. Yeah, no, I know. But if you get 1,000 subscribers, you can have a custom domain.
Yeah, okay. What?
I'm just trying to help you here.
This isn't my next get rich quick scheme or anything.
Portugal soon. It's great.
Wow.
Buying in Mexico. Let's see. Maybe if I search for... Yeah, there it is. It does say Eternal Spring. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. paying bills, don't do what we did, money transfers, and how we purchase mm-hmm. the Mex. This is good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody should do this. If you've solved a problem that yeah. people have.
Well, the reason this kind of came up was a year ago when we started researching this stuff. There's no like Rick Steves from Mexico.
Right, know? Right.
And these days, there are books. A lot of them are really out of date. There are YouTube channels. A lot of those are either retired people or really young people with no responsibility who, you know, it's interesting to see the places, but they don't really have very good perspectives to us. And they're certainly not buying property. So there's just not a lot. I don't know. There's not a lot of stuff out there for this particular thing.
And you put
so.
Up a lot of videos of, I mean, this is great.
A lot of it's just kind of filler videos.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's more than, you know, on my YouTube channel. and you've got 305 subscribers, so you're close. Once you get to 1,000, you can have youtube.com/whatever you want, including Eternal Spring, probably. Unless somebody gets it first.
Well, I'm sure Eternal Spring is taken, but we'll figure something out.
Paul and Stephanie's Eternal Spring. How cool. You know what? I'm glad you made that because I'm going to be your neighbor upstairs and I want to know ahead of time what to expect.
Right.
I completely sidetracked this. Go to therot.com. Do you have to be a premium member to read this series of articles? Okay.
No.
New in 22H2 search will actually give you a whole bunch of them. Nice. That's the all of the slug for all of them. New in 22H2, and I got to read it because you made me.
Okay,
it's your fault. App of the week.
There you go.
App of the
Epic.
Week.
So yeah, someone else had asked me. Someone had, was talking to me about reading stuff, and they were trying to make the case for the Kindle, and you know I get it. I get why people would be interested in the Kindle. I used a Kindle for many years, but the problems I have with the Kindle are many. But some of the key issues are the Kindle devices, like the ebook readers, don't even support all of the content that Amazon sells for Kindles. A lot of them require you use an app on a computer or a tablet or a phone or whatever, which I think is kind of bizarre. They don't support color, obviously, which is kind of an issue. And more to the point, you know, Kindle content, whatever that is, books or periodicals, that is not most of what I read, let alone all of what I read. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I read is just through online services or whatever. And that stuff is either impossible or hard to get to on a Kindle. And so I do all of my reading on other devices, typically an iPad or my phone, you know, obviously, as people do. But I did write an article about all this and about the stuff that I use, what I read every, you know, how I read every day, where I read, you know, where I go to for things. But when I think about this stuff, I mean, honestly, when it comes to reading and actual reading, and I think these days a lot of people don't do a lot of reading, you know, especially long form reading. I think the two that I use the most are probably the Google Discovery feed, which is the Google app if you're on Apple, or just the thing off to the left of the home screen on Android. I get a lot of good content through there, but I always push it into Pocket, and I use Pocket for a lot of things. I use Pocket because you can read without all the distractions, which I really like. But Pocket is also a good source for long form articles that are high quality, and I think that's one of those things that's just disappearing from the web. And it's
I use Pocket too. I love Pocket.
Yeah, I love Pocket. Yeah. And I use it for everything. I mean, it's like a kind of a research dump kind of a thing. You know, when we were researching Mexico, I still have a lot of stuff about Mexico in there, for example. But it could be anything, you know, device reviews or, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all over the gamut. And it's not, you know, like I read both Stephanie and I subscribe to Medium. But Medium, like for me, is like, it's either like Apple developer issues or women's issues. Like it seems to be like there's like these heavy concentrations of like a couple of different things. But Pocket as a source of information, not just as a place to put it and read it, is actually very good because it's a broad. They have a broad range of topics that they go out and grab. And it's a lot of it's long form, which, again, I feel like long form reading is a skill that's we're just losing, I think, as a people or society.
Was it Pocket that you could, maybe it was Instapaper, you could send it to mm-hmm. your Kindle, and like you get a weekly digest of your Pocket and stuff. That might have been an Instapaper. I don't wonder if Pocket has.
That could have been a Kindle thing. Yeah, that could.
That was one reason to use a Kindle.
I checked out on Kindle just because it's just too much I read that isn't there. I can't read on that device.
Right.
You know, I like the idea of it. I like
no, but I want color. I want images. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yep.
That would be, so there's a couple of things that I like the Kindle for. Mm-hmm. With the Kindle, you can highlight passages and you can write notes. And then there are note-taker apps like Obsidian that will automatically sync with your notes.
So that works in the Kindle app, by the way. You don't have to have a Kindle device to do that.
That's true. And actually, frankly, I use the Kindle app more than I use the Kindle, even though I have a Kindle. Yeah. That's a good point.
I wish they could get it right. Like, even stuff like if you read, like, comic books or those kinds of things, you can't access those on a Kindle e-reader for the most part.
Yeah.
And even if you could, why would you want to? You want a bigger screen. You want color. You know, that kind of thing. I don't know. Cookbooks are tough or can be, you know, or impossible to read. Programming books are horrible on Kindle devices.
Yeah, but you can search them and stuff. So what I ended up doing is I read them in the Kindle Reader app, or you go to read.amazon.com and read it there on a web page.
The Cloud Reader, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm reading them there because then I can copy and paste and stuff like that. So there are some advantages.
I use Cloud Reader a lot in that programming Windows series because I owned a lot of older Microsoft books.
Right.
And it was neat to be able to search through it and look for things.
Who has room for all those books? I have so many programming
Well, if you're looking
books,
for some kindling for your next house fire, books are a great idea.
I got the new Python, Learning Python and Programming Python, the new O'Reilly Python books. Each of them is literally 4 or 5 inches high, but they make an excellent stand for your webcam, I found.
Right. Actually, my wife used Windows 7 Secrets as her monitor stand for about 8 years.
The Delphi Bible probably really be
Oh, yeah, hardcover. That would be a very stable base for almost anything, a foundation of a house.
You can build a house on it.
Yep.
Mary Jo Foley, enterprise pick numero uno.
My first pick is about secured core. So you know you've already got secured core PCs, secured core servers. I think even Azure HCI has a secured core version. Well, now there is Edge secured core. And this isn't Edge the browser. This is Edge computing devices. So secured core is a certification. It's a security certification. So in the case of IoT devices, it's going to be a certification for devices that Microsoft says are secure end-to-end. So it's everything from the processor, the firmware, the OS, the way they encrypt data on the device, when it's in transit, all these things, if you pass a certification, are promised by Microsoft. There are already a couple of devices that have passed the Edge Secure Core standard or certification. One of them is a NUC. Intel's NUC 11 Pro Mini PC has passed it. There's an Asus device. There's a Lenovo ThinkEdge SE30. And they're all listed in the Azure Certified Device Catalog. So the reason Microsoft's doing this is one of the biggest places for security breaches is in firmware, right? It's not just hackers attacking you through an app. It happens right on the device. And as there are more and more IoT devices, Microsoft and its partners think it would be great if we could secure things end to end, from all the way from an edge device up to the cloud itself. So this is where they're going with this. And Edge Secured Core got announced just this week.
Very nice. Edge Secure. We need this.
We do.
Enterprise pick number two.
So Microsoft announced in April Windows Auto Patch. Windows Auto Patch is kind of like the next version of Windows Update for Business. It's a whole series of things that you can do and as an administrator to roll out security patches almost like in rings, almost like the Windows Insider program. So you can control inside your organization who gets which patches, how quickly people get them. You can have subsets of groups of people who get them. Unfortunately, when this came out recently in final form, a few publications wrote, okay, that's the end of Patch Tuesday. Now that there's Windows Auto Patch, we don't need Patch Tuesday anymore, and that's over. This was our last Patch Tuesday, and it's done. I don't know where they got that idea, but wishful thinking, maybe? I don't know. But Microsoft actually had to put out a statement saying, just because we have this new Windows Auto Patch option for some enterprise users does not mean it is the end of Patch Tuesday. So if you're getting your hopes up about not having to drink your Patch Tuesday cocktails anymore, sorry, you're going to have to keep drinking them. Patch Tuesday is not over. If you're an enterprise, you might want to start using this Windows Auto Patch feature. But Patch Tuesday, I think, is going to go on for the foreseeable future. I think I'll be gone before Patch Tuesday is gone.
Yeah, you were clear about that when we talked about this
so.
Auto Patch service.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you know what it really is? It's these blogs that, it's link bait, basically.
It is.
They want to write.
But then it got out of control and people were like, right. Oh, there's no more Patch Tuesday, right?
Right. They wanted the end of Patch Tuesday.
Yeah.
And people go, what? Yeah. But no, obviously
no.
not. Unless you're an enterprise, you know, user. Death, taxes, and Patch Tuesday. I like that idea.
Not going away.
Yeah, not going away. Beer pick of the week.
Yes, so it is, June is Pride Month. This weekend is the giant Pride Parade in New York City.
Oh, boy.
So why not a beer to commemorate
Here
Pride?
Here, too, the Sunday month of Pride. Is Pride, the big parade.
Yes.
Yeah.
The beer of the week is from Torch and Crown in New York. It's called Rainbows Everywhere.
Oh.
And yes, it is another hazy IPA. Okay, but here's why I made it a pick. Not just because of that. It's a Pride-themed beer with the rainbow. They brew it every June for Pride Month. I didn't know till I read about this today. It's 6.9% to commemorate the 1969 protests around gay rights.
The Stonewall riots.
Right. So they
God.
Actually tweaked the ABV so it could be exactly 6.9.
That's hysterical.
That's and hysterical. A portion of the profits go to LGBTQ plus causes in New York City.
Nice.
It's your perfect Pride beer, basically. And I know a lot of breweries do Pride-themed beers this month. So if you don't have your own Torch and Crown, I'm sure you can find one at your local.
I'm sure Lagunitas has some. I'm guessing.
I'm sure they do. I would guess they do, too.
Yeah. This looks nice, though. I like it. It's a beautiful can.
Beautiful.
And Torch and Crown's good.
They are.
That'd be a nice iPhone wallpaper.
You know, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's quite beautiful. With the Statue of Liberty and silhouette and everything. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Mary Jo, you've done it again. You got me drinking beer.
It.
Yep. Thank you so much. Mary Jo Foley is at ZDNet. That's all about Microsoft.com. That's her blog. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. And we now know, in case you missed it, July, are you going to do it before or after the cruise?
Oh, boy.
You remember, you got a week in July that you're not going to be around. I think you should push it after the cruise. I hate to say it. But
We'll see. We'll see. Right. It's in good enough shape.
He's getting ready to
what
build.
What are we doing, by the way, when you guys are on the cruise? Are we still doing Windows Weekly?
Hell yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak a bunch of special guests
you
on.
You can do stuff. Sure.
I've already thought about this.
And you know, Paul, you and I should probably record a greeting or something that we can send off.
You should.
You know, you standing by a glacier.
From a glacier or something.
Yeah, getting licked by a husky or something, you know. Standing next to a bald eagle. We'll figure out something. We'll send something back your way.
Nice.
So, here we are in beautiful downtown Anchorage.
Yep, I go flying down the side of a glacier.
We'll try to do something TikTok worthy. Worthy of the eternal spring.
Paul died as he lived, stupidly.
We did not see that polar bear coming, I got to say. Thurrott.com, and then, of course, right now the field guide for Windows 10 is at leanpub.com.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eye peeled. Field guide for Windows 11 coming soon. If you're going to go to Windows 11, you better get the field guide. And, of course, read those articles about 22H2 on Thurrott.com. We do Windows Weekly on a Tuesday. It's supposed to be around 11 a.m.
Wednesday.
Okay, so there's my problem number one. I'm here on the wrong day. Damn it. It's supposed to be Wednesday, 11 a.m., 2 p.m. Pacific, 1800 UTC. You can watch
today,
us.
Today, Mary Jo screwed up the start time.
Yeah,
sorry, everybody.
No, I was late, and then Mary Jo couldn't hear us, and it was a mess. But you could go to live.twit.tv and watch us mess around with equipment, trying to get it working. That's fun. That's the live behind-the-scenes stream that goes pretty much all the time.
If you're watching live, chat live with us. There's a open to all chat room at irc.twit.tv. If you prefer Discord, you might want to consider joining Club Twit. That's one of the benefits. That plus ad-free versions of all the shows, the Twit Plus feed, all the shows that we don't put out on our main feed. And if you want to know more, $7 a month, just go to twit.tv/clubtwit. twit.tv/clubtwit. We do put the show out for free to all, ad-supported, at twit.tv/ww. There is also a... boy, remember when we used to record in that little room? Boy, that was terrible.
Not really.
Yeah.
Was that a thing?
Man, glad we're in the big room now. Where's all the hats? Yeah, that is an old picture.
I was going to say, there's a Google... What is that called? A Pixel Book or something?
Yeah, that is. There's a Pixel Book there. Wow, that dates that. Holy cow. We'll get a photographer in here. Of course, nothing has changed other than the set, right?
Other than my hair.
And no, yeah, you're a little grayer, maybe. I don't know. We're all pretty gray at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also a YouTube channel dedicated with more than 1,000 subscribers, I'm happy to say.
Wow. Just rub that in.
Yep. Well, not much more, it looks
like.
That
must be nice.
It's actually pretty close. really, that looks like not many at all. Wow.
I guess.
Subscribe, if you will. 000. Mash the red button. Bing the bell so you get the notifications. Do that thing. Best thing, really, and one of the reasons we're not dependent on YouTube. We like it if you subscribe in your podcast player. That way you get it automatically. You can listen to it wherever you are, anytime you want, or watch. There's audio and video for Windows Weekly. Thank you, everybody, for being here. You dozers rock. We'll see you next time on Windows Week. Oh, wait a minute. I won't be here next week. I will not see you next time. I'm going back east to visit Mom. So it'll be Micah Sargent hosting the show.
Are you going to be in Providence?
Going to Providence, yeah.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
Go out for some Italian food.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go to Atwell's Avenue, and we're going to go have some clam cakes and lobster roll.
Yeah.
And,
nice. Fire water.
I'm going to some coffee milk for sure. I mean, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Dell's lemonade. All the stuff I grew up with. It's going to be a lot of fun, yeah.
Nice.
So I will miss you next week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. I'll be back in 2 weeks, and Paul and Mary Jo will be here with Micah next week. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, editor of Ad Astra Magazine, and each week I'm joined by Tariq Malik, the editor-in-chief over at space.com, in our new This Week in Space podcast. Every Friday, Tariq and I take a deep dive into the stories that define the new space age. What's NASA up to? When will Americans once again set foot on the moon? And how about those samples from the Perseverance rover? When are those coming home? What the heck has Elon Musk done now? In addition to all the latest and greatest in space exploration, we'll take an occasional look at bits of spaceflight history that you probably never heard of, and all with an eye towards having a good time along the way. Check us out in your favorite podcatcher.